Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining me today. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host today, Linda, and I'm still coming at you from Oceanside, California. It is gorgeous. It's like perfect summer, 75 degrees, sun shining, clear skies. It's just slight ocean breeze. It's perfect. Don't hate, because believe me, what we got with Jerry Brown and the rest of these clowns is not fun. And please come visit us at PatriotFamilies.com, that's families of the YS. Welcome Bill, Ron, guest 6173, and Kyra. Thank you all for joining me. This show is brought to us by Hollis Buchanan and PatriotFamilies.com. Please call in if you want, 646-378-0321. So much going on today. First, the kids were talking in there about Agenda 21 and Georgia Guidestones and Plato's Republic and how all of this started and how far back it goes, and it's so true. Earlier today, around 12:30 or so, one of the gals from Vista Tea Party Patriots, the wife of one of the originators of that group, had invited me to Daryl Issa's office because there was people there talking to the ISIS aides, basically regarding lobbyists and things, and we had gotten the miscommunication thinking they were going to be talking about Eric Holder, Fast and Furious, and what's going on in Washington right now. So anyway, what we did was we just hung out for a little bit, and then I signed the thank you card that was put together by Lynn Welke, thanking Eric for all, Daryl Issa for all of his hard work on Fast and Furious. So that was interesting. Okay, what have I got? I have a caller already. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Miss Linda.
Well, hello. Good to hear from you. How did your test go?
I haven't had it yet. I'm still here, I guess.
Okay, basically they're now talking. Bill says Holder will be charged with contempt, even though Obama tried to use executive privilege, admitting he knew about it. So that's true, Bill. So what I found out, they did do the committee vote, and I think it was all along party lines, 23 to 17, 17 being the Democratic side. Next week, it will be on the House floor for the entire House of Reps, and we will see what happens. The whole thing is just stinks to high heavens. And I guess the Marxist in chief decided to do this executive privilege, probably just to protect himself. He doesn't give a rat's behind about Holder or any of the other ones. anyway, we do have, Kyra says, hi, Robert. Everyone in there knows it's you, and thanks for joining us today. And, okay, so when is test happening?
Thursday the 29th.
Okay, all right. So that's
and
a little bit.
I still have 9 days. I have 9 days to pray.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep studying. So.
Oh, my Lord. I just had to take a break. I was listening to Holder all day long today. I was listening to it all day long. It's nauseating.
I can't listen to those people. No. I can't even listen to the MSM, Fox. I can't. You know, I tune in as best I can to check out what's going on, or I get my information off the internet because I get all these emails. And that's how I learned about that just came down today. So.
You know, it's just like Linda, I was watching Fox News yesterday. Here I was at 3 p.m. And the headline was, Hebrew National has lied about their hot dogs. Okay? And I was waiting to hear. I sat there for a whole hour, didn't even get up to go pee. I went into every commercial, right?
Yeah.
Nothing was said. They didn't give me the info.
No. When I tune in sometimes, just before I tune in to Savage on the radio, because everything's earlier, it's like a little after 4 o'clock here, p.m. in the afternoon for us in California. So you guys are in the evening hours where most of you are you know, calling from and listening from. But sometimes I'll check out Greta Van Susteren because she gets all these big names on there, and she'll have Issa on for like 5 to 10 minutes speaking on these matters. And so then I can get some sort of information, whether, you know, what it pans out to be. So basically today also, because we had, now in Oceanside, they're doing meetings right now at the council, but they're not going to do the vote on what we spoke on June 6th, when I actually spoke in front of the council members on the circulation element of Oceanside, which is all tied into ICLEI and the transportation element and this Agenda 21 and the climate action plan and their general plans, which drives me up a wall. And so they're going to be voting later today, and I'm not going to that rotunda and sitting for 5 hours waiting for Mayor Wood to get to item 24 again, so I can watch it from my living room, because they're going to broadcast it on Channel 19, which is a local, you know, Oceanside City Council station here that's broadcast to the people who live in Oceanside. So that I can find out what's going on. So because what's going to happen is, if they vote no, that means the circulation element with the ICLEI clown and the rest of them have to go back to the drawing board, and they have to come up with better things. So that will give us time, we'll see, to put our stuff together. I've got a lot more stuff to put together. My folder is getting heavier by the minute. I'm going to have to put it in one of my rolling suitcases to take it down there. Because I need to get all the apps from Sandag and all this nonsense. And Sandag stands for San Diego and Government, and it's a sickening public-private partnership that's been running San Diego for way too long. Ron says, Shalom Tonto Goldberg. Oh, my gosh. How cute. He loves to congrats you. You know, we just have so much fun because, you know, you're part of this family, and we really love you, and you've got some great things to say and stuff.
I was thinking today. I was thinking today. What is the probability of Eric Holder either resigning or being impeached?
Well,
I don't know either. But I said if he gets a piece or resigns, my prediction would be that Obama would pick John Edwards to take his place.
Well, I don't. All I know is they're going to drag this out. You know, they're going to drag this on forever. I don't see any resolutions. I don't know how this works. I know that the wheels of justice turn slowly, but what's happening, as far as I can see, is that there are still a few, not much, of the checks and balances still in place, and it does take a long time, but that's the way it was meant to be, so that those three branches can keep an eye on each other and scream loudly when things are going awry, hopefully, I think what Daryl Issa is trying to do is not only get to the truth about the matter and also hold someone accountable for Brian Terry's death, that this just, he might be able to use this to bring Obama down as hard as he can. Who knows what's going to happen? These clowns.
Oh,
just...
Obama knows who leaked it. He knows what happened.
Of course he did. He probably ordered it. You know, this guy is evil, but I don't care who's puppeting him. He's still carrying out the actions. So what I was going to do was, you know, back in the 30s, I was going to bring this particular piece of information up, and I can't remember exact date, but I know it was under FDR, and this was a Supreme Court case, Schechter Poultry Corp. versus the United States. And so it kind of shows you how the Supreme Court can put the checks and balances on people like FDR, who was like minuscule inches away from being a dictator himself. So much so they had to amend the Constitution so the presidency could be no longer than two terms. That's how wonderful that guy was. Anyway, so this is from Savage's book, Trickle Up Poverty. The Schechter brothers appealed their case, which ended up in the U.S. Supreme Court. Against all odds, the Schechter Poultry Corp. versus United States, the Supreme Court unanimously ruled in favor of the Schechter brothers. The Supremes ruled that FDR's program was unconstitutional on several levels. Of primary concern was the way his NRA program sought to regulate intrastate commerce. Constitutionally speaking, intrastate law is governed by the states and not the feds. Furthermore, the court said that FDR's regulations were an usurpation of congressional power. After the decision was handed down, Justice Louis Brandeis told a lawyer representing FDR's New Deal, and quote, this is the end of this business of centralization, and I want you to go back and tell the president that we're not going to let this government centralize everything. It's come to an end. Well, that was then, and now we're back to centralizing the world. It's driving me nuts. Are you in the chat room, Robert, or can I read this to you?
You can read this to me because.
Okay, this is. He says, Shalom Tonto Goldberg, and then he says, and hola Robert Sanchez. He's just being fun.
He's giving me a hard time because Hebrew National lied about their hot dogs. And I still want to know why.
Okay. Well, anyway, so go ahead.
I was going to say I thought Hebrew Nationals were the best hot dogs in the world, and now I know it's a farce. So I guess I'm going to have to announce my. Being a Jew now because of that.
Oh, God. Well, I kind of like those, and I also like the Nathan's all beef ones, but that's me. Anyway,
Nathan's are the best anyhow, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good. Anyway, what I was doing was going through all of these items that I actually received. Ron, are those Hebrew Nationals, Robert?
What did he say?
Are those Hebrew Nationals?
Yeah, the like Hebrew Nationals.
Yeah, like Mexican Nationals. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, you're telling me he's a bad boy today. Oh,
yeah, he's funny. Okay. So what I was doing was going through the information. I'll get a little bit on Agenda 21 just for a little bit because I'm trying to gather as much information to give to these people, whether they're the city planners or the mayor and the city council. So Ron, he's on a roll today, and he's on energy drinks and he's crashing, so... I know exactly what he's doing. He's just cracking me up. But anyway, I'll have to Skype him one of these days. Okay. Anyway, so this particular piece, the U.S. Rebellion Ignited Against the UN's Globalization. Ron says, I won't tell my Jewish pizza joke. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, he's just... Anyway, so this guy who wrote this piece... Yeah. Piece is Warren Duffy, and he's in Orange County, so he stays on top of this, and I actually got to see him when Lord Duncan spoke in front of us in San Diego. So this is called The Rebellion Ignited Against UN's Globalization. And so it says, environmentalists heading to Brazil for a United Nations Rio Plus 20 summit on global environmentalism may be served well by paying attention to the recent action by the state of Alabama. Okay, I'm going to pick Ron up just while I go through this. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, darling. Go ahead. I'll try not to disrupt.
Oh, you're so fun. Okay. So it says, by a unanimous vote of both houses of the Alabama legislature, Senate Bill 477 was passed, essentially confirming that the state no longer will cooperate with Agenda 21 for the 21st century, or Agenda for the 21st, or known as UN Agenda 21. And then it goes on about ICLEI. It says UN representatives are meeting in Brazil now. In fact, they're starting today all the way through the 22nd of this month. Are meeting Brazil now for an organization meeting of the ICLEI, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, / Agenda 21 World Congress at Belo Horizonte. The meetings run through later this week. Then a sustainability environmental Rio Plus 20 summit will be held June 22nd. It says, why Rio Plus 20? It is the 20th anniversary of the first UN Rio Earth Summit of 1992, where the first seeds were planted for the assessment regulation of individual actions based on a global impact. Since then, under the cloak of contracts compiled with palliative words such as sustainable, smart growth, social justice, and others, more and more local and governments, state governments in America have begun working with the UN's Agenda 21. But the ideas contained therein that U.S. energy production is bad because of its pollution, that wealthy nations must give technology and money to other nations and the like, did not please Alabama legislators. Hooray for them. The uncomplicated three-page legislation titled the Due Process for Property Rights Act, I like that one, was proposed by Alabama Senate Majority Whip Gerald Dial and affirms the state of Alabama and all political subdivisions may not adopt or implement policy recommendations that are deliberately or inadvertently infringe or restrict private property rights without due process as may be required by policy recommendations originating in or traceable to Agenda 21. Yay! So all of these things are going to be on the desks of my mayor and city council and the people who are in charge of the circulation element, which are the general planners. And go ahead, Ron.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just chatting with Bill and Kyra in the chat room there.
Oh, okay.
So I promised I wouldn't tell my Jewish pizza joke for Robert.
Oh, why don't you shoot me an email and then I'll read it?
Well, it may offend some people, but that's, the difference between a Jew and a pizza.
What's that?
A pizza doesn't scream when you put it in the oven.
Oh, Ron!
What a bad boy!
That's horrible, isn't it?
That's a terrible. Ooh, wee! As my cousin-in-law would say from Mississippi, when she heard that joke, she would go, "Ooh, wee!"
I know all kinds of jokes, and most of them are not very polite. So
some are not. Anyway, I know.
I've never been one to be politically correct. So
it's like I heard Harry Reid say today. What did he? I wasn't quite sure if I got it right because it didn't go over my head. But I heard something to the fact that that the media is comparing Obama as a monarch. I don't know why he said.
You know, they were calling him world president back when he got elected. And,
right.
You know, there's been so many things in during his reign that he should have been impeached for, or at least brought up on charges in the Senate. The fact that he was head of the UN Security Council while he was president of the United States, that's a big no-no. Yeah, that is a huge no-no. That's illegal.
Well, my question, you know, why are they not doing anything about this guy? I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's like I said before, and I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to understand it or grasp it. And I guess the biggest reasoning is because they're still playing the Democrat Republican left right game, that they haven't figured out the reality of the situation. The reality is that all those people up there, all the ones that are running for president against Obama and so on, the only gripe that they have against Obama is that they're not in his position. He's president and they're not.
Right.
They don't have a problem. They don't have a problem with the system as it exists.
Exactly.
And they don't have a problem exercising their own authority within that system. They just don't like the other guy when he's doing it. They want to be the party in power. The fact of the matter is, they all look at us as the dumb masses, and they are the philosopher kings. You know, I was telling Kyra, if you read Plato's Republic, it really lays it out what their ideology is, and that's because that's where their ideology comes from.
Yeah, what do you call them? The witch kings?
The philosopher kings.
It just goes back so far. I mean, we can trace it probably to Babylon. It's horrible. And you're right.
You know, this is what Frank and I talked about. That, you know, this goes back to ancient Egyptian philosophy. I guess, for lack of a better, the occult knowledge, the secret knowledge, and all that junk. One of the things that we learned, you know, we know about the Freemasons, right? And everybody talks about Freemasonry. Well, allegedly, you know, the Master Masons are the guys that helped Solomon build the temple.
Right.
But that the Masons actually came from Egypt, the pyramids. So, you know, that's where that whole thing stems from.
Okay.
It's very old, and that's why I've touched a little bit on some of the Egyptian hieroglyphs and showing some of the similarities to you know, the astrological aspect of it.
Sure.
It all ties together. It really does.
Yes. And so, you know, you were talking also about Agenda 21 right after World War II, because the League of Nations wasn't actually the UN at that time.
Right.
So,
it didn't pan out. It fell apart after World War I. And quite honestly, you know, having read the history, and just not all of it, I haven't delved into it like I did with, you know, that book, The Real Lincoln. That is a much more narrow viewpoint. But if you go back and look at the history, it doesn't take a genius to connect these dots. When you see the Marxist philosophy, and the Marxist philosophy is simply an offshoot of Plato's Republic, I tell you the truth.
Wow. Yeah, I'll have to get into it when there's a couple more minutes. I am not on Plato's Republic and just read it. And I do want to order The Real Lincoln. That should be an excellent read. You know, because we have to know, you know, the truth about these things, where it all started, and it does trace back eons, as you know.
I think Robert may have read it. He was. Have you were getting ready to say something, Robert?
Well, I was getting ready to, you know, when I was after we did like two nights of the Real Lincoln, I wanted to touch base on it because, as a, you know, it just reminded me of the movie Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks. You know,
yes, one of my favorite movies. Yeah. I have it on DVD.
I mean, that's exactly what it reminded me of. I mean, there's no other way to describe that, you know. I mean, I don't know if I'm right or wrong about it, but that's how I felt about the situation. It was just like a Mel Brooks satire, you know.
Well, and it would be a satire if it weren't so true. And these, see, the thing is, when you go back and look at this stuff, and you see the implementation of it, and I think this is what Hamilton was into. I don't have any. Uh-huh. I think Hamilton was in it for the monetary gain,
sure,
as well as the prestige that it would bring him. That's what I gather from Alexander Hamilton's ideology. If you go back to Plato's Republic, and I'll give you like a real brief synopsis.
Okay.
Basically, they're at a party. Socrates is, and they're positing questions to him, mm-hmm. and so he always answers a question with a question, and they're going back and forth. And he's describing that if there was a perfect society where you would have these children who were brilliant as young children, and you could separate them out from the rest, okay, and you would give them special education and special learning and attention, and they would grow into be philosophers and kings, the rulers of the kingdom. And they, because of their knowledge, because they're so smart, they know what's best for everybody else, and the poor dumbasses don't. See, they're too stupid for their own good. So the philosopher kings would rule over them benevolently for their own well-being. And that's exactly how these people think.
Exactly. And, this is where, you know, when we realize the culmination and we're looking at it, we're watching this unfold before our eyes, because they've got their stranglehold on us. You know, not only with the monetary system, but with it's like an oligarchy, and this clown is being puppeted, you know, by whomever, these elitists or these philosopher kings, as you call them, which is exactly what, when you describe it, it's so Maurice Strong, it's so all the rest of them, so Fabian socialist, it just all fits together. And I think that we're either going to go into an age of enlightenment, or it's going to get real dark real soon. And that's why I played the music, you know, Raise Your Heart Up High, because I'm going to blow you right away. So, because it's lock and load time if we go into the dark period, I'm telling you, because they do not like us. They don't care about us. They want to get rid of as many of us as they can. And I see it coming.
Well, that's exactly, you know, what Kyra was talking about, the Georgia Guidestones. That's what they're telling you on those Guidestones.
I know. It's horrible. And like we talked about before, they want to get rid of 80% of the world's population. And all they need is just to flip that switch, and they'll do it.
Well, Alex Jones, a lot of people, you know, give him a lot of crap but for being over the top. And I used to think he was over the top. And he gets a little animated. And he can take things a bit far in context. But I do believe he's correct in the whole ideology of a soft kill.
Uh-huh.
And you look at the incidents. You look at the incidence of cancer in our society today, and not just here, but everywhere around the world, and it's accelerating exponentially.
Wow.
And this is something that, you know, I personally believe was certainly planned.
Oh my God.
You look at all the foods. My mother used to tell me years and years and years ago that it was all the junk they're putting in the food.
Sure.
And, you know, she grew up on a farm where they raised all their own food. And now, you know, you can go to jail for that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm hiding my garden for as long as I can. It's frightening. I'm so tired of it, you know. And, again, we just don't – what do we do? Let it play out? I mean, I'm continuing to fight and wake people up, but and I don't know whether I should be optimistic. You know, of course I have to turn back to God, and I want His will to be done in His time, and that's what I pray for, because He gets the last word.
Well, certainly, and you know, for me, from a couple of different perspectives, from the preterist perspective, okay,
right.
And we've had that conversation. I honestly believe that the people, that the powers that be, whoever that might be,
mm-hmm.
whatever this ideology is, whatever this plan is that they're trying to advance, that
right.
they are absolutely trying to mimic the misinterpretation of Bible prophecy,
uh-huh.
so that people believe that it is being fulfilled.
Right.
And the reasoning behind that is that it puts Christians in neutral.
Exactly. Those who are not going with the idea that you do, where you look at several sides of a coin and study the preterist view, you know what I'm saying? It's like the Christians are well-meaning and they probably believe in Christ, but maybe they're just too complacent and they still have their heads buried like the ostriches.
I think they're believing that these prophecies are being fulfilled right now. And one of the things, you know, Dean Shook comes on and he always likes to bounce questions off me. Dean does an end times ministry, and
right.
he and I can have the debate without descending into an argument. And one of the things that he asked me is he said, "What about Syria? When did Syria cease to be a nation, you know, as is told in
mm-hmm.
in the prophecies. And what is it we're talking about in the news today? Where are we getting ready to go in and end
exactly.
the regime over there? And who is it that's fighting against that but China and Russia? And what do you think the implications are going to be if we do carry out an attack in Syria and there are Soviet or Chinese troops there?"
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Dave. You know that's not going to happen.
But I'm telling you, it could.
Yeah,
this is
frightening.
And see, that's the idea. I'm telling you, this is exactly, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this is exactly the moment that the nation state of Israel was recreated for.
Yep. Oh, boy, they're patient, aren't they?
It's been
a long time. Oh, my gosh. So my other question, too, because there was, you know, that very disturbing hot mic situation when Medvedev and Obama
yeah.
were sitting. Now, what did he mean? What is his?
I'll be more flexible.
Yeah. What is he trying to? What was that code for? What is he doing? I mean, I've seen horrible things, you know, where he's giving them islands off of Alaska. Is he just giving away the farm?
Well, you know, I in all honesty, I don't know how to take that whole thing, because it's not as if we've ever had an administration that was hostile to the Soviet Union, ever. Go back to your history. World War II, we gave them half of damn Europe.
Yep, yep, I know.
The only one that had it right was Patton, and guess what happened to him?
He got killed.
Yep.
But you know what, Ron? I think Obama and whatever the bastard's name is in Russia, excuse me, but that's what
Putin?
I think of him.
Putty-poot?
The Putin boy. I think they're sleeping together for some reason. And I don't know why. I just have this.
Ron Paul came out the other day and on the House floor, and God bless him. You know, he's the only one that stands up and says what has to be said, and these people just think he's nuts, and I don't get it.
I know.
He talked
there
about the fact that we're threatening Syria, and he is on the verge of reigniting the Cold War. Or at least the appearance of the Cold War. But, right. You know, you go back what I was saying about all the different administrations that have been friendly to the Soviets. I think, quite honestly, that the whole thing with the Soviet Union and our Cold War was a contrived bunch of crap.
It sure seems like it. I mean, everything that's happened since, the Reconstruction period forward has just been disastrous.
Well, my prediction is that not only Obama's sleeping with Putin, but he's also sleeping with Iran, and that's going to be the three to gang up on Israel, and Israel's going to be wiped out. That's why if he gets elected again, that's what's going to happen.
Well,
you understand that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did you understand my triangle? United States, Iran, and Russia. Well, all three. They're going to gang up on Israel and call it a day.
I'm not sure. I don't know how this is going to play out. I know Ron has his views about Israel and it being a nation state. You want to take that one, Ron?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it all, Robert. I was responding to something Bill put in there about the Russia and Iran joining together.
I think Russia, Iran, and the United States are going to just bounce the shit out of Israel and call it the day. That's my opinion.
I don't think that Iran has any real intention of trying to do anything outwardly as aggressive against Israel. And I know a lot of people might not buy that, but you know, the Persians, you go back in history and tell me the last time the Persians started a war with someone, or the last time the Persian Empire invaded someone before they were put into a war footing. They haven't. They never have.
Right.
They talk a big game. It's kind of like Saddam Hussein, you know. He was beating his chest and talking big crap. He didn't have weapons of mass destruction, but he couldn't let that out into the public, because he was afraid of Iran. And, of course, why was he afraid of them? Because he had antagonized the crap out of them and launched a war against his neighbor, Iran. And Iran and Iraq fought a 10-year war to a draw.
Wow.
You know? Iran is no more of a threat to Israel, realistically, than it is to the United States. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some nut jobs that can come out of those countries and try to carry out some terrorist crap. But you've really got to look closely at the actual terrorist attacks that have occurred over the last 30-plus years, 40-plus years, and compare them to what we've seen on 9/11 and other things. You look at this garbage that, you know, oh, we foiled another terrorist plot. The guy had explosive underwear. What?
Yeah.
That's the biggest crock of bull crap.
I know.
And people just buy into it, and they're just afraid. They're fearful. And what happens when they're fearful? They're going to give up more liberty, more freedoms, and give the government more control, as if the government has all the control it wants. Okay? It can take and do anything that they want to do. They can do, and they know it. Lincoln proved that.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that the reason that Ron Paul is the only one standing up and speaking like that is because the rest of them are all in on this mess.
Well, sure. That's why I said the only argument within the groups is who wants to be in power. They don't give a crap about the rest of it. They think it's all hunky-dory.
Yeah. Well, they're in power, and they know that they've usurped every ounce of power that we the people have ever had, if we had any at all. You know, maybe back 130 years ago we had some, but it's been completely taken from us, and they're just marching and marching and marching, and it is driving me nuts. So I guess the next question is, with this this election coming up, if there's going to be one, who do you think Mittens is going to pick for the VP?
I don't know. You know, everybody's flapping about Rubio, but I don't think he's qualified.
I
think he's going to meet the same problem that Obama has. But I guess, you know, maybe they could claim there's actual precedents now. And, you know, I heard a comment on the radio tonight on my way home that I thought was fabulous. and obviously the guy was a birther, but, you know, the people that are called birthers get poo-pooed. So the guy called in and he said, you know, maybe Romney should pick Obama as his VP. That way he'll finally be vetted in the media.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm thinking, you know, if they allow Rubio, since they allowed Obama, who's, you know, he's got, who even knows who his parents are, the mother. And,
well,
and,
he's certainly not, he certainly was not a natural-born citizen.
No, absolutely. So, but I'm thinking, here we got Mittens and we got Rubio, who's obviously not a conservative, as far as I can see. Maybe on fiscal things, but certainly not on immigration. Oh, that's just lovely. So we'll have two pro-amnesty clowns if they win. I mean, it just makes me want to just explode. I don't know where to go.
Well, and what worries me is, you know, let's say we have an election and Romney wins, and there's going to be a collective sigh of relief, and everybody's going to go, okay, it's back to business as usual, and you're going to see an uptick in the market, and the economy's probably going to pick up for a little bit, and I'm going to be sitting there going, yoo-hoo, guys, problem's still here.
Yep.
It hasn't been solved.
No, it hasn't.
I tell you who Romney should pick for vice president. If he picked Martinez from Florida, who was mayor of Tampa at one point in time, he might have a chance because Martinez is a smart guy. That would be a great ticket.
If he really wanted to get all the Republicans that are on the fence, all the conservatives that are on the fence and really don't care much for Romney, I think if he really wanted to make a statement, he'd be speaking to Alan West.
Yep.
That too. But if he wants to get the Hispanic vote of illegal immigration, Martinez would be his best bet. I'm telling you, that would be my advice to Romney.
Well, the only thing that's going to push Romney over the top is if he grows a spine, which I don't know. And I, of course, my first and last choice is Ron Paul, but, you know, we can't do anything about that if the GOP has already decided who is going to, you know, who's getting shoved down our throats.
Well,
let's not
count him out just yet. And I know everyone's, and I think this is great because everyone's conceded that Ron Paul just can't get there. But I'm telling you what, right now there is a lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's been filed in California, Lynn, in your home state.
Wow.
Asking a judge to file an injunction in the for the Republican National Convention because the RNC, and this is, I'll try to do it quickly because I know you're running short on time. Back when McCain was running, there was a delegate who was bound for McCain.
Okay.
And the delegate said they didn't want to vote for McCain. They wanted to vote for Mitt Romney. The RNC's lawyer, legal counsel, came back, wrote a letter, and said they do not recognize any bound delegates from a state, and that according to the laws of the Republican Party and the laws of the convention, that each delegate is an independent individual and is free to vote their conscience.
Wow.
Now, that speaks volumes.
Sure.
Ron Paul's talking about having 500 delegates. Okay, yeah, he's got 500 delegates pretty well wrapped up. But I'm here to tell you that there is a whole plethora of delegates from other states that are bound to Romney or other candidates that are not supporters of those candidates. They are Paul supporters. This is huge.
Good. Let's pray on that.
can I read an email that I got from Ron Paul for Senator Rand Paul?
Yeah, go ahead. I still have 15 minutes.
It says, Opposing Unconstitutional Wars by Senator Rand Paul, June 19, 2012, 4 p.m. And it says, much has been speculated and written since my endorsement of Mitt Romney for president. Many in the Liberty Movement and my longtime supporters wondered if, as a result of endorsing someone for office, I would stand up to them when they went astray. The question to me is as strange as the answer is simple. Yes, struggling every time. I have always done what I believe, and I have never been blinded by party. In my time in the United States Senate, I have opposed the USA Patriot Act, voted against the NDAA over indefinite detention, fought to a mandatory minimum drug sentences, and voted against my party's official budget because it didn't cut enough spending. I don't believe any fair look at my record will show my partisanship or partisanship of any kind. I have worked with Senate Democrats on civil liberties, the House Black Caucus on the drug war. I have fought alongside the ACLU on civil liberties, and at times I have fought all by myself on federalism issues. I endorse Governor Romney for many reasons, not the least of which is that we simply cannot afford 4 more years of President Obama, Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, and out-of-control EPA and NLRB, and trillion-dollar deficits are combining to strangle our economy. I'm afraid if that chokehold is not released quickly, our country may quickly follow Europe into destruction. Anyone who doesn't believe that there's a difference between the two candidates on economic issues is simply not looking for not being honest with their assessments. Where I don't know if there's as much of a difference as I would like, is for policy. Let's first be clear, President Obama was elected on a platform of ending wars, yet he has opposed every effort made by me and others in the Senate to do that. He opposed by resolution to the Iraq war. He has refused by urgings to end the war in Afghanistan more quickly. He started another war in Libya, and this time went further into unconstitutional territory than previous presidents by not even seeking congressional power whatsoever. I opposed him when he did that. Anyone who believes that President Obama is less aggressive internationally than his predecessors is mistaken. I do not yet know if I will find a Romney presidency more acceptable on foreign policy, but I do know that I must oppose the most recent statements made by Mitt Romney, in which he says, as president, could take us to war unilaterally with Iran without any approval from Congress. His exact words were, I can assure you if I'm president, the Iranians will have no question but that I will be willing to take military action if necessary to prevent them from becoming a nuclear threat to the world. I don't believe at this stage, therefore, if I'm president, that we need to have a war powers approval or special authorization for military force. The president has to be in that capacity now. And it goes on, but it's pretty long, you know. Those are his views. I mean, it goes on to say, our founding fathers were quite concerned about giving the power to declare war to the executive. They were quite concerned with that the executive could rule like a king. Before sending our young men and women into combat, we should have a mature and thoughtful debate over the ramifications to authorization and the motives of war. James Madison wrote, the Constitution supposes what history demonstrates, that the executive is the branch most interested in war and most prone to it. The Constitution, therefore, was sitting care vested that power in the legislature. I will hold accountable and oppose any actions for any president, Republican or Democrat, if he declares war without congressional consent. There you have it. That's pretty profound.
It is. I've always liked Rand Paul, and I've actually heard him speak on a telephone conference regarding trying to stop the EPA and the Agenda 21 stuff with a Senate bill. And you know, he gets it. He knows that these things are wrong for our country. So it's a shame that he was too new to the Senate to run, because you know how people are. They think that only young people have anything decent to say, except for people who have, you know, half a brain and they understand Ron Paul and who he is. It doesn't matter if he's a little bit older. He gets it. He's a true blue conservative patriot. That's just my assessment.
Well, I think that there is a two-pronged approach by Rand Paul and Ron Paul, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. And
awesome.
there's a lot of Ron Paul supporters out there that are all, you know, got their panties in a wad over this thing with Rand. If you
right.
think about it, his dad, Ron Paul, has long been seen as this radical, extreme outsider guy. Okay.
Sure.
Whereas Rand is like a media darling. So all he did with this endorsement of Romney is ingratiate himself even more to the mainstream media and the party insiders. But I don't believe that tiger has changed its stripes one bit. So
right.
you've got a two-pronged approach. You've got Ron Paul, the extremist on the outside, and his son bringing to front those main issues that his father's
sure.
been talking about for decades from the inside and giving them more credibility within the party. So I think it's brilliant.
That may work to our advantage. You know, I'm just very fearful because I don't know how this is going to go, but God forbid that Barack gets another 4 years, because I don't know what country I'm going to, but he scares me. I'm sorry. He scares me to death.
Well, there won't be any country that's safe, I can tell you that.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
you know, when we talk about China or Russia or the United States, I see that as nothing bigger than the Democrat-Republican struggle.
Right. It's insane. It's so nuts. And basically, this is a pretty good-sized battle that's coming to a head, basically, of good and evil. And it's pretty in your face. If you can't see it, boy, you've got your head right in the ostrich position or the cranial. Yeah, absolutely. It's the truth.
There
so
should
clear.
Be a plasectomies should be in high demand.
Yeah, those removal of the cranial from. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the plasectomy is where they go in and cut out a section of your abdomen and put in a plexiglass window so you can
there
see
you
where
go.
You're
so
going.
They can see where
that's pretty. Hey, that's pretty. Oh God.
Perfect. Yeah, they need that so they don't run into stuff. I know it's crazy. It's very sad, but you know all
Costa
we can
Rica,
do.
Costa Rica. I think huh? you mean Puerto. Kyra said Costa Rica is voting if they will become. I think she means Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah, well, Costa Rica is where Rush Limbaugh said he's bailing to. he's terrified too. But yeah, I think it's Puerto Rico. I'm pretty sure. Or was it the Philippines? God, I don't know.
No, it's Puerto Rico. They're talking about becoming the 51st state or 52nd state or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, these guys, well, the good news is I think a few more people are waking up, maybe not enough, but because not only is the media exposing themselves like Anthony's wiener all over the place as to who and what they are, but I think that the general population or the voting populace of the United States is also getting pretty tired of Obama and his regime and Eric Holder and all the rest of it. So I don't know. Too bad they don't actually see the underlying things like the DHS and the TSA and the, you know, the FEMA camps and all the rest of it. And I know Alex Jones, you know, he does get over the top, but I think he does some pretty darn good investigative reporting. People know about this stuff. Because I think they're evil intentions, and their intentions are not, you know, inconsequential, and they're not unintended. You know what I mean? They're definitely blatantly intended for harm. So.
Yep, absolutely. It's not going to be pretty.
No, and all I can do is prepare for it and just, you know, grab the Bible. Yep. and the shotgun. Order some more slugs, whatever. But
a 22 rifle. A 22 rifle before Christmas. That's my goal.
Well, you better get it soon. Because who knows what they're going to do.
All you need is one of those little Beretta jet fires, Robert.
What is that?
I think you're on a microbeer. I don't think you're...
No. That email I sent to you, Linda, with the guy with the brown bear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's amazing.
He said one shot to his girlfriend's kneecap, and she went down. The bear got her, and he was able to get away by walking at a brisk pace. I thought that was priceless.
Oh, my gosh. You are in so much trouble with all the emails.
I still have my head in the ostrich position because I still don't know the truth about the Hebrew hot dogs.
The truth about what?
I don't know the truth about the Hebrew National hot dogs.
I hope they're not making them out of actual Hebrew Nationals.
that was a disappointing line what I heard. I have to research it. I have to email Bob Meckel from the five.
God. That gas bag.
I email him quite frequently when I feel like I want to give him the business. I'll just give him the business.
That guy is a true gas bag.
Which one's this?
Bob Beckel.
Oh, my God.
Bob Beckel.
I call him Bob Schmeckel. Yeah, that's what he is. Oh, he's horrible. Does he believe the stuff he says?
I don't think that he does. That's the rub. Because you can see that he just kind of revels in the tongue-in-cheek of it all.
Yeah, he's bizarre. Very bizarre. Some of these people, I'm surprised he gets any airtime at all, but that's what they do. And I want to thank Kyra for joining us because she's had a lot of wonderful things to talk about with the Guidestones today, and she's downloaded Plato's Republic. Good for you. And Ron, thanks so much for calling in. And Robert, it's always a pleasure to have you because you lighten up our life and you get Ron going with the jokes, and that makes the all worth it. And, again, I'm really excited about Delaney. I'm getting, anxious, and I'm still fighting all these guys at City Council and doing everything I can. But tomorrow is Thursday, and we have Terry Rowland doing Patriot Education at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that's always a good show. We don't know about Brian on Friday because he's saying he's going to see what happens by that time, 8 p.m. Eastern for mortgage help, foreclosure help. Then we have Saturdays sometimes with Michael Magic at 7 p.m. Eastern with Exposing the Illusion. Sundays, Fed Up Frank show, and I should be able to tune in no problem. Thanks, Kyra, for the accolades there. That would be 7 p.m. Eastern for Fed Up Frank, and Ron usually fills in for Frank. Monday, Constitution Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, and that's always good for learning about all the things we don't know about yet. And Tuesdays, Bill and Hollis, they're great with Patriot Family Chat. I got to co-host with Bill yesterday because Hollis wasn't around, but we had a good show. I know Bill was on a rant because he was talking about Agenda 21 and everything and illegal immigration, which are little, they stick in his craw. So, but that's good. We've got to keep hashing it out and going over this stuff and finding every piece of information. And God bless you guys. God bless this entire Patriot family and Robert and everyone out listening, Blog Talk Radio, Patriot families. And I'm going to tune us out with a little music. And I'll see you guys in the chat room on the other side. Thanks so much.
God bless you.